time where society is suffering from what many call the effects of a fatherless generation. We need a place where men can receive godly wisdom and guidance so they can take their rightful place as the leaders of their community. A place where men freely discuss men's issues from a biblical perspective, because the world won't get better until we do.
As men, we don't commit for a few reasons. One, because we don't want to. Number two, because we don't have to. Or three, because we're afraid to.
Okay. We don't want to, we don't have to, and we're afraid to.
Join Pastor Tuck and Brother Corey in the Man Cave. And be challenged to be a better husband, father, or simply the man that God called you to be. Get ready for the Man Cave on the all-new My Church channel.
Good evening and welcome to the Man Cave. I'm Pastor Tuck, and if this is your first time joining us, you're exactly where God wants you to be, because in the Man Cave, we help men get better, become better husbands, better fathers, better sons, better brothers, or just the men that God called them to be by simply teaching them how to apply the Word of God to their lives and providing a genuine environment of transparency and support where they can learn and grow. So I want to encourage you to share this broadcast with every brother you know, because we're here every second Thursday at 7:30 p.m. right here on the My Church channel. And joining me for tonight's discussion, as he is every second Thursday, is my spiritual son, Brother Corey Coleman. Brother Corey, come on into the cave.
I'm in the cave. What's up, Pastor Tuck?
Yes, sir, man. We're about to pop off like it always is, man. We're about to make it what it do. Yes, sir. Man, Brother Corey, you know, as I was praying, man, for what God would have us talk about for this evening's conversation, man, I thought about something, man, that affects, I believe, every person on this planet, whether we realize it or not, and that is the digital world. You know, right now, in the days we live in, man, screens are everywhere. You know, we got our phones, social media, streaming, you know, the internet, you know, they're in our cars. Man, even the gas pumps, man. You go up to the gas pump, you start pumping gas, man. Somebody starts talking on the screen. It's just like it's everywhere, you know. And the reality is the greatest spiritual battles for many men today aren't happening on our jobs. You know, they're not in our families. You know, they're not even in the streets. They're happening in our pockets, you know. Most of us wake up with our phones. We go to sleep with our phones. And in between, we're constantly connected. And while technology can be a blessing, if we're not careful, it can become a curse, because it can quietly begin to shape our minds, you know, our desires, even our spiritual health. You know, so I want to get started, man, by looking at some scripture. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, it says, I have the right to do everything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You know, the key phrase there is I will not be mastered. Mm-hmm. See, if we're honest enough to admit it, a lot of people today may not be mastered by alcohol or drugs, but they have become mastered by their phones. You see people, man, they will have a straight up panic attack if they lose their phone.
Yeah.
You know, they'll lose their wallet and won't trip out, but they lose that phone, man. It's like, my phone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally, man, they start having an anxiety attack.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you something straight out the gate. Have you noticed how easy it is for you to pick up your phone just to check one thing, and suddenly 45 minutes have gone by.
Guilty. Yeah. I've been late to work.
Wow.
Because I left my phone at home.
Wow.
I'll be honest with y'all, man, Kay. This message is for me today. It's real. It's definitely can be a challenge if not checked.
Yeah.
Just like anything else. And I think it's one of those things that sneak up on us. We don't realize how attached we are. We don't understand and realize the dangers of that attachment and of that need of having that thing.
Yeah. You know, and the crazy thing is, it's like, and we're not just telling you phones are bad. You know, we're not telling you that technology is bad, but you got to be careful about what you're getting out of it. I was telling somebody this the other day. If you listen to the people in the younger generations today, something that I hear them frequently saying certain words. Mm-hmm. And Corey, you tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Because I hear this all the time. These are phrases that I hear them constantly repeating. My anxiety. That triggered me. I'm overstimulated. I'm about to crash out. And these are phrases. They're not just slang. These are phrases that they have adopted and embraced, and they are part of their culture. Mm-hmm. But they are very telling phrases. They're very characteristic phrases of the mentality and the mind state and the fragility of their mental health. Even that phrase, mental health, has become something that has become very characteristic of the populace nowadays. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you never heard people talking like that were coming up during our time frame in our generation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a reason for that. Because during our generation, we did not grow up with social media. And I was telling somebody this the other day. So many people, one of the things I think is very characteristic about myself in particular, that people always comment about, people think this weird about me. And it's something that I always kind of, I guess it's my claim to fame. Nothing bothers me. Mm-hmm. I'm even keel. And it's not something I just say. People always notice it, that I'm just always this way, regardless of what's happening. Ain't too much to move me. I mean, it's got to be really something to move the needle. And like I said, mm-hmm. you got to mess with my wife or my kids to really get me to move the needle. I mean, of course, I got pet peeves. Customer service, the number one thing on my pet on my pet peeve meter, you know, dealing with customer service folks. I mean, you can get me to pop off, you know, and that's the thing that me and the Lord always working with. You know, that's my flaw. You know, but besides that, nothing bothers me. Nothing raises my blood pressure. Nothing, you know, health challenges, financial challenges, you know, family stuff. None of that stuff really gets me. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. And people like, you know, they talk about the stuff that's going on in the world, you know, the economy, you know, the politics, all the stuff. And people like, oh, all that stuff. Did you hear that? And I'm like, nope. And I'm just like, and people think I just don't care about nothing, but that's not it. It's the fact that I haven't watched the news in over 30 years. And people are like, what you mean you ain't watched the news in over 30 years? I haven't. I literally have not watched the news in over 30 years.
Literally, not interested.
Not interested. Because there's never any good news on the news. So it's like, what I'm watching it for? It's not telling me anything. Anything that's really important, somebody else will tell me. Mm-hmm. And I really don't participate in social media. The people are like, but Pastor Tucker, you got Instagram, you got TikTok, you got Twitter, you got Facebook, you own all the platforms. Hate to bust y'all bubble. I have a company that manages those for me. That's not me. I know that might be shocking to some of y'all, but no, that's not me y'all interacting with. That's not me. Uh-huh. I have a company that literally, the ministry, we pay somebody to do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
Because literally, and very, very rarely on my personal page, yes, I do go out there and I'll post of it, and you can tell it's me because I post my family. I post Lego stuff. I post ministry stuff. And every now and then I used to post stuff about the Cowboys, but you know, I denounced them last year. So
that's your team.
Other than that, those were the only things you would ever see me posting. But I very rarely go to read anything. I'm always contributing. And that's the problem. Most people go out here and they consume. Mm-hmm. I told somebody years ago, I said, social media is a place where people dump their raw emotions. Mm-hmm. So it's like a trash can. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a bad day. You know,
yeah.
Somebody cut you off in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody broke up with you. You know, it's just take your raw emotions and you dump it. So it's literally a trash can. And so if you're out here consuming somebody's trash, what mm-hmm. happens if you keep eating out of the trash can? You're going to get sick.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. We are literally consuming other people's stuff that they have discarded.
Yeah.
That they are, you know, regurgitating. The stuff that they are literally vomiting out their raw emotions. And that's why your emotions are like a roller coaster, because you're sitting there eating somebody else's emotions, and it's their most volatile emotions, because this is their unfiltered thoughts.
Right.
Somebody make you mad. You got an opinion you just want to spout and don't want to hold back. So you throw all that stuff out and people are taking that stuff in. And so that's why you're overstimulated. That's why you're triggered. That's why you're about to crash out. That's why it's causing you anxiety. Because you're taking all of that stuff in. Because the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart flows the issues of life. And you're taking all that stuff and storing it into your heart. And now it's starting to cause you issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't take that stuff in. I refuse to take that stuff in. I don't let that stuff get in me.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem. That's where we're at in this society. And that's the problem. See, and that's one of the dangers of this digital age is constant connectivity. Our brains are processing thousands of pieces of information every day.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. In just a few minutes online, you might see world news, political arguments, somebody's financial success, tragedy somewhere in the world, fitness videos, relationship drama, and your mind is constantly being flooded. And the problem is most of us don't take the time or put in the effort to filter that information.
Yeah.
And that's what causes the issues. But that's why Paul reminds us of something critical in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says that we have to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. You've got to start taking those thoughts that you're consuming and say, does that thought line up with the word? So should I keep it or not? But that's the problem. We're taking in so many thoughts. We're not even filtering to see whether or not that's a thought I should keep.
Right.
Should I consume that?
Right.
See, watch this. When you eat fish, you're eating fish and you're like, oh, that's a bone. I should spit that out. Oh, that's a bone. I should spit that out. That's meat. I'll keep that. That's a bone. I should spit that out.
Mm-hmm.
But with social media, you're eating so fast, you're just swallowing bones. And that's why you're walking around all day, because literally you're not even taking time to see if that's a bone or not.
Yeah.
And there are so many bones. Think about it this way. You eat fish, and like I say, you're spitting out the bones, right?
Right.
Remember, I said that this is raw emotion that everybody's spitting out. So all of this is trash. You're eating from the bone pile.
Mm.
So everything that you're eating is something somebody threw out.
Yeah.
So you're literally that they didn't even want.
Right.
And that's what most people don't get.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let me ask you. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Ask your question.
No. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think over time, subconsciously, we start to gain an appetite for garbage.
Oh.
You just
said a mouthful. Because look at if you go back to my generation, back in the 80s, right. When I grew up in the 80s, you know, I'm a 70s, 80s kid. Mm-hmm. And if you look in the 70s, 80s and look at TV, we had sitcoms like What's Happening in the Jeffersons and, you know, Good Times and, you know, Different Strokes and all, you know what I'm saying? Sitcoms were the thing on television. Situational comedies, you had, you know, that's what TV was made of.
Right.
Now, if it's not a reality series, drama, it doesn't sell because we're looking for trash.
Yeah.
The Real Housewives of this, The Real Housewives of that, Love and Hip Hop this, you know, what's the one, the prison lockup, you know what I'm saying? All these, what is this mess? Do you see what I'm saying? It's like,
I feel you.
Love and lockup, but you know, what kind of,
yeah. Yeah.
But this is what they want on television, and it's like, bro, what happened to the good old shows?
Yeah,
where you could sit down and watch an episode and laugh and enjoy. No, we don't want that.
Right.
We want some trash.
Our appetite has changed.
We have an appetite for trash, and then worse, we have literally 60, 70, 80. For the few years, TVs were getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But now nobody even wants to watch TV. We would rather sit there and strain our eyes looking at a 6-inch screen and hunch our necks over.
All day long.
All day long.
All day long.
Watching 30-second, if that, 5-second, 10-second, 20-second videos on something they call TikTok. Of somebody sitting there doing something stupid.
And before you know it, 3 hours has passed.
Yes. Watching stupidity.
Yeah.
The stupider, the better.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about inviting them over and saying, you know, why don't you bring the child over to watch a movie. Mm-hmm. The little child's 5-6 years old. And they were like, well, they don't have the attention span to watch a movie. And we're thinking, what do you mean? 5 or 6 years old, our children's life was sitting there watching Disney movies. You know, we got the theater upstairs. We like, they can come back, sit in the theater. We put on Disney movie. I mean, it's like, this kid will be in heaven. Mm-hmm. They're like, no.
Not today's kids.
And that's because you have now raised them to sit here and do this.
Yeah.
It's like you don't know the monster you're creating.
Yeah.
How many kids nowadays, today, they say have ADHD? Back when I grew up, there was one kid in the entire grade that was that kid that everybody knew that's what he had. They didn't even have a name for it back then. He was just the kid that always got in trouble.
He was just hype.
That the teacher just kept him sitting beside her desk. And he been like that since we was in like third grade. He always had to seat beside the teacher's desk because he would always get in trouble. So she would have to make him sit beside her so that everybody else in the class could concentrate. Because mm-hmm. sometimes she would literally have to put her hands on him. Mm-hmm. And it was always just one. Now, it's a generation of kids that, I got ADHD. I'm overstimulated. I got this. I mean, it's like, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
Because we have developed habits and allowed these things to take us captive. We've been mastered by these things. So let me ask
you. And we allow excuses to come in as well.
Absolutely.
Excuses. We don't want to work through things. We don't want to just deal with life challenges. There's going to be challenges, but when we have a challenge, we can't then put that off on, you know, just being overstimulated. No, some of the stimulation is good. You should be stimulated.
Process it.
You should process it, deal with it. Let's move forward. Let's move through it. Some situations are real. I don't want to discount that. But at the same time, there's a lot in the majority of the cases and the majority of the time that people say that is because we've been conditioned to not deal with hardship.
And we've been conditioned to not deal with what we don't want to deal with.
That.
Because the same people who say that will be in the room and have the radio playing, the TV playing, and this playing, talking on the phone, doing all that, and that didn't overstimulate you.
Right, right. And we've believed the excuse that it's okay if I need this fidget toy, or it's okay if I need to watch these videos. It's okay if I need to spaz out on everybody, crash out on everybody. That's okay. Because y'all made me feel this way.
Yeah.
So we've made excuses.
But like I said, the same people, they'll sit there and have their music playing, talking on the phone to their friend, you know, having three conversations. They got a group chat going on all at the same time. And that didn't overstimulate them.
Right.
But you start having me and you having a conversation in the same room and it's overstimulating them.
Yeah.
Because it's not a conversation they wanted to hear.
Right.
So it's like, how that work?
Right.
Yeah. That's a choice.
It's a choice. And again, it goes back to our appetite.
Yeah.
You know, our appetite for different things that are like, yo, where did this even come from? Yeah. Like there's people now that'll tell you that, you know, and it tripped me out. I heard somebody else ask the question, but it tripped me out because they asked the question, you know, what do you need to go to sleep? And this one lady, she was like, I have to watch true crime. I have to hear about murders, basically. And that's what relaxes me before I go to bed.
You have to prime your nightmares.
Right. That's sad.
Yeah.
That's sad. All because we've been conditioned, we've been programmed to use these devices, whether it's watching throughout the night, whether it's, you know, the TV constantly being on and having these devices all around that has been said to bring comfort to a lot of people.
And, you know, it's so crazy. That people don't understand how difficult some of this stuff actually is. They really don't understand what it is that causes some of these issues. You know, it's amazing that they've allowed themselves to get into these situations, and it's by their own doing. But let me ask you this. How hard is it for people today to take their thoughts captive when their minds are constantly bombarded with information?
How hard is it?
Yeah.
It's very hard. It's almost impossible because they can't process anything else. They're maxed out. They have no more bandwidth to take on anything else. So that's when the crash outs happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the meltdowns happen. That's when they become so overwhelmed that they start attacking other areas of life. And then also abusing other areas of life because you're looking for an escape. It becomes a compounded issue.
And I think that's why it's so important to filter the information you take in. I think the problem is not so difficult to take the thoughts captive. It's the problem is when you're trying to take captive when you have that many. It's hard to take them captive when you just have, when you allow every thought in. Because when you start, it's like, if you got a million thoughts, trying to take those thoughts captive, yeah, that's one thing. But if you can cut that down to 1,000, now I got something I can manage.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem. People take in too much stuff that they should have never taken in the first place.
Yeah. That part.
And I think that's the problem. We've got to start creating more disciplined habits. And that's that. And that's the first step in that process.
Yeah.
You know, and so much of that stuff comes down to understanding how you operate and what's going on with you. Self-awareness is the key to everything.
Yeah.
You got to understand yourself, you know, because like I said, when I tell people I stopped watching the news 30 years ago, people look at me like I'm crazy. But I'm like, I recognize how it affects me.
Yeah.
It don't do nothing but upset me. I've never watched the news and was like, ooh, I felt informed.
Yeah.
I never felt better. It always made me feel worse.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, so why is it? People are like, well, that's your duty as a citizen. No, my duty as a citizen is just to pray, period.
Yeah.
As a kingdom citizen.
Right. Right.
So I can always pray. I said, and if it's something that catastrophic that goes on, somebody gonna tell me about it. And all I do is add that to my prayer list. I didn't need to see it.
Right.
So many people just don't understand that. But like you said, we've developed this appetite for negativity that we just, I got to see somebody got killed today.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Somebody missing.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And it's not because, I want to pray for them. No, we've developed an appetite for the negativity.
Because we want to be noticed.
That's what they feed.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they feed. And it's part of our flesh. And we've got to get out of that because that's where the anxiety comes from. That's why we have this fear. That's why we have worry. That's why all of these things exist in us, because we've taken in stuff that God never intended for us to be constantly taking in.
Yeah. On a constant basis. Yeah.
On a constant basis.
Yeah.
Let me shift gears for a minute. Brother, let's talk about something real. The internet has created something that previous generations of men never had to deal with. And that's unlimited private access. Temptation available instantly.
Yeah.
See, for a lot of men, the biggest spiritual battles happen late at night with the phone in their hand. And the Bible actually speaks to this principle. In Psalm 101, he says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Notice David didn't just talk about actions. He talked about what he allowed in front of his eyes. Because what you repeatedly look at will eventually shape what you desire. Corey, let me ask you this.
Say that one more time. What you continuously look at.
What you repeatedly look at will eventually shape what you desire.
That's good. That's good.
See, so many people don't recognize one of the reasons why they have a lust issue is because of what they're consuming. So many people don't realize the reason why they have, why they still have issues in their marriage is because of what they're consuming.
Yeah.
Because you always on Instagram looking at big booty hoes. That's the reason why you unfulfilled in your house. Because you always on your phone watching porn. That's the reason why you unfulfilled in your marriage. Because the stuff that you're taking in, I told you, out of the abundance of your heart. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. It's because of the stuff that you've stored up in here.
Yeah.
It's causing issues out here. Let me ask you this, Corey. Why do you think guarding what we look at has become even more important in the age of smartphones and high-speed internet?
And I'm gonna backtrack a little bit, and I'm gonna answer your question at the same time. I think it's very important because at times, and most times, good, bad, or indifferent, we normalize things that should be checked.
Say that one more time, slowly.
We normalize the things that should be checked, meaning we have an appetite for something, or we continually go to something, and over time we've normalized it. Mm-hmm. We've normalized sitting there through a show that's mad vulgar or mad nudity or whatever the case may be. We've normalized it to where we don't see an issue with it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the issue is poisoning us.
Yes.
And over time, and our conviction of that thing is weakened and weakened the more and more we do it, to the point to where we get to a place to where we don't see the issue sometimes, or we don't realize that, hey, oh, that is an issue. When we sit back and we actually examine that thing based on what God says about that thing, and then we're able to say, okay, yeah, you know what? I shouldn't have did that, or I shouldn't watch that, or I shouldn't allow my phone to bring me to this place. Whether that means I have to get off social media, whether that means I need to limit social media, whether that means I have to limit the time as a child, the time that I have on this device. A lot of people don't want to be told that. And a lot of people don't want that type of accountability or that kind of direction as to be told, hey, you can't handle this. As grown as you are and as strong as you may think you are, you can't handle this particular piece.
You just said something that's so powerful, and I'm about to put it in perspective for some folk, and they don't want to hear what I'm about to tell you. Watch this.
Go ahead.
We have become so desensitized to so many things and don't realize how it is impacting our society. But watch this. Because we have consumed so much vulgarity, language, nudity, violence, things, we have become accustomed to consuming things, and we have normalized them to the point that we think that they are benign, to the point that we feed them to our small children under the auspice that they are safe. Watch this. There was a time where even if you cursed, Cam is 5 years old, right? About to be six.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I cursed and Cam walked in the room, I would watch my mouth because Cam walked in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And most adults would have that level of sensibility. Right? Mm-hmm. Hey, little man, watch your mouth. Little man in here. Right?
Yeah. Right.
If we were watching something that we knew that there was some nudity in the room, and Cam walked in the room, we'd be like, hey, man, turn that off. Man, little man in here.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Same thing with some violence. We would have the mentality that, hey, watch out, little man in here. We got to turn that off.
Yeah.
But because we have consumed so much and we have gotten so used to it, we have children of the same age in our own homes, and we will sit there and watch it with them sitting in our own living rooms and continue to watch. Because we have become so desensitized that we don't even realize that we're feeding that same poison to our children.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even notice it until years later when our children start showing up with behaviors and we wonder where they got it from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, when you said it just now, it's like, because I've been trying to, it's puzzling me for a while now why some people do some of the stuff that they do.
Yeah.
Cause I'd be like, why do they let these kids listen to this? Why are they listening to this in front of their kids? Why are they watching this in front of their kids? But that's it.
Somebody watching in front of them.
They have become desensitized. It's not even that. They have become so desensitized to it, they don't think anything's wrong with it anymore.
Yeah. It's a new normal.
It has become so normal to them that they don't even see that they're damaging their children anymore. Because the enemy has blinded them to the damage. Mm-hmm. It's blinded them to some, to the fact they're not even convicted that something's wrong with this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's wrong with my language. This is just how I talk.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's wrong with nudity. This is just TV.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this being years ago when my kids were small. I had literally taken my kids to my mom and dad's house and they stayed with my mom and dad. And me and my wife had gone out or something like that. And we come back to pick them up. And my kids were in my old room playing.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was in the living room watching TV. And at the time, it was the first lady of my mom's church at that time. Who,
mm-hmm.
a whole nother story. But it was my mom, the first lady, and the first lady's daughter, who at that time was maybe 2 years old, three maybe, sitting in the living room and they're watching TV. Kai and Courtney are in my old room, sitting on the floor, coloring, drawing, doing something quietly.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I walk in, I immediately just walk past them, not really pay attention to what they're doing. I go to check on the girls. And I said, what y'all doing? I said, why y'all in here? And they said, something on TV we can't watch. So I walked back in and looked, because I didn't even pay no attention to what was on TV. I come back, they're in there watching The Legend of Sleepy Hollow on HBO.
Mm.
I mean, one of the old, the horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
3-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Sitting on the couch with them watching this.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at my mama and I looked at this lady and I'm like, what are you doing? And my mama like, what you mean? I said, why do y'all have this on with her in here?
Mm-hmm.
And my mama's like, oh, it's just a movie. I said, no, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I said, ain't nothing, just nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you do realize there are only two sources of anything. God and the devil. I said, and the Holy Spirit didn't give whoever wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and y'all sitting there feeding that to that child.
Mm-hmm.
I said, turn that off.
Mm-hmm.
Now I had to tell my mother that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's sitting there with the first lady of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there like, but once again, you don't become desensitized to this, like, this ain't nothing.
Yeah.
But this is the stuff that society does. This is the stuff that people do. And like I said, and I never really thought about it, because I still see people doing stuff like this now. And I'm like,
yeah,
what's that about?
Yeah.
But like you said, when you said it just now, I was like, oh, they don't even see anything wrong with it. They have consumed it to the point that they have literally become blinded. What they're watching is no different than watching football. It's no different than watching cartoons to them. It's nothing to them. They are numb to this. And that's why they can sit there and watch it with a child in the room.
Yeah. That's scary.
It's scary.
It's scary. Yeah.
Because we have literally turned off. We have literally turned off the voice of the Holy Spirit talking to us.
Yeah.
And that's why we really got to be smart about this. That's why we got to start checking our eye gates. Jesus said something powerful. He said, the eye is the lamp of the body. In other words, what we allow into our eye affects our whole spiritual condition. If we constantly feed our minds lust, negativity, comparison, anger, eventually that becomes the atmosphere of our hearts. Have you ever noticed how what people constantly watch online eventually start showing up in their conversations and attitudes? See, that's why they designed the algorithm. Because it notices what you're watching and it feeds you more of it. Because they know it's going to impact your behavior. I'm going to tell you, at first I thought this algorithm stuff was mess. Until they got me. I'm like, I'm a victim.
Yeah.
I'm literally a victim.
Right.
I'll sit there and say, I ain't buying no more shoes. I ain't buying no more shoes. And I'll sit there and be watching something. And right at the bottom, there come up this little banner at the bottom.
Shoes.
Pair Air Force Ones. And I'm like, next thing I know, I'm on the hunt for some Air Force Ones. I'm like, boy, you got 75 pairs of Air Force Ones. You do not need another pair.
Yeah.
And I got another pair to be here tomorrow, Corey. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
They got me.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's what you constantly consume. It affects your behavior. See, and the thing is, it's so crazy because so many people, and it will impact you in areas that you don't cover. Another danger of social media, especially, is comparison. Now, that's not one that I'm particularly susceptible to, but a lot of people are. Social media is basically everybody's highlight reel.
Yeah.
You see somebody buying a house. You see somebody buying a new car. Somebody's business success. Somebody's vacation. And before long, you start thinking, man, I'm behind.
Right.
I need to get me another house. I need to get me another car. But the Bible warns us about comparison.
Right.
He tells us in Galatians, he says, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Why do you think comparing our real everyday lives to somebody else's highlight reel can rob us of gratitude?
I think you just said it. I think we think that, you know, one, you know, that person is further along than I am. I need to do this. I need to do that. When the reality is, you don't know what kind of condition that person is in.
True. Some of them are faking.
Some of them are faking. You know, some of them are faking because it's just social media. And I think we have to learn to separate that. We have to learn to say, you know what? This is a highlight reel. This is not reality. You know, a lot of times, you know, I'll post a vacation or something like that, you know, and somebody say, yeah, hey, you know, must be nice or this and that. They don't know my week has been a week.
Yeah.
You know, and what I just posted probably happened 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Cause I'm not going to post a vacation while I'm on vacation.
Exactly.
So what you've seen is stuff that's already been done. You don't know how I paid for it. You don't know if I paid for it.
Yeah.
You don't know if it's real or not. With AI these days, you don't know what's real, what's not. So it's important not to compare yourself and not to, as you said, make yourself feel as though you should be in these places or you should have this going on or that going on, because you don't know. And the danger of that is you'll go out and you'll do whatever you have to do, good, bad, or indifferent, to present yourself as equal to this person or greater than this person that's posted something, to say that, oh, you're doing your thing on as well. So that you get, and it's all just for attention.
And that's the crazy thing.
It's all for attention.
I was telling somebody this the other day. I said, do you know that is the biggest freedom, when you don't care what other people think?
Oh, man.
I'm like, God delivered me years ago. And that was never my motivation, but that was the most freeing thing for me. I used to buy a new car every couple of years. And every couple of years, I mean, I could tell when I started getting the itch. And when I would get that itch, I would literally avoid the part of town. And you know where we used to live. I would avoid that part of town where the car dealerships was on. I wouldn't even go down Old Forest Road, you know what I'm saying? I mean 221. I would not even go over there.
Yeah.
Because if I went onto the lot, I was coming home with some keys.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. I was like, I got a payment book, I'll just trade them. You know what I'm saying? And that's just how I was. It was like, it won't nothing for me to go up and it says, here, take this book, give me another one. And I had done it so much that I was so upside down in car payments. And bruh, it was like, and I remember the first time I paid a car off. And when I paid that first car off, man, and got to keep that first month payment, and I was like, wait a minute.
Free and one.
I actually get to keep this? And I was like, hold on, we need to get rid of the rest of these.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we getting rid of the rest of these, bro, because you mean to tell me I can get to keep this?
Yeah.
No, that's different. But then the revelation came because God was like, you know, the inside of the car don't really change all that much. And the only time you actually get to look at the outside is when you walk into it and walking away from it. So you paying for something for everybody else to look at the outside. I was like, wait a minute, bro. So I'm paying so that they can see the outside? Buddy. I'm not paying no payments so that what they can look at.
Yeah.
I don't even get to look at the outside while I'm driving, bro. I'm riding on the inside.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, we're not doing that, bro.
Yeah.
I'm paying so that you can enjoy what you see.
Yeah.
Do you realize that as long as you keep the inside nice, bro, that the inside of your 84 just as nice as the inside of the 2004, bro, stop it.
Right.
I was like, nah, we're not doing this.
Right. But just like that, and kind of what we talked about earlier, for a long time, you normalized that, though.
Yeah.
It was a normal thing.
Yes.
Until you realized the destruction that it was doing to you financially.
Absolutely.
And your eyes opened. You was like, you know what? I got to change this. I got to do this.
Got to do something different. Do something different.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, man. We got to get out of this place of allowing these things to shape our thinking. And that's why this digital age is so dangerous, because it's literally giving you thoughts. It's giving you visions. It's giving you things that are affecting the way that you're processing information. And so you got to make sure you're filtering what you allow to get in here and make sure you're getting your information from the right source.
Yeah. Subconsciously.
Yes.
I just want to keep reiterating that it happens subtly and subconsciously, to where you don't feel like it's affecting you, but in the long term it is.
Yeah,
I remember my wife asked me one day, we were talking, we were just having a conversation. I can't remember exactly who, I want to say it was like Beyonce and Jay-Z or something like that. and about them getting a divorce, or, you know, if I think they get a divorce, and I said, Ty, I don't care.
Exactly.
I'm trying to keep my own marriage on the right track.
Yeah.
I don't care what Beyonce and Jay-Z do. I don't care. It doesn't affect me one way or another. I hope they stay together.
But
it don't affect me. I don't care. I don't care what they do. It don't matter to me.
I know that's right.
The same way with reality TV for me. And it's some people's thing. But I never understood. If I'm watching TV, it's to relax, it's to enjoy something, not to take on somebody else's reality.
Yeah. And you know, it's so funny because, you know, I do it to be, I try to be as polite as I can to my wife. Because she loves it. She'll be like, you know, such and such died. You know, this celebrity, some celebrity. And I'm like, really?
Did they know Jesus?
that's my only thing. I hope they knew the Lord. Cause I'm like, bro. Did they
know Jesus?
Bro, I hope they knew the Lord, because I'm like, bro, they didn't list me in the will. So why are you telling me? I'm like, unless they listed me in the will, it's not going to affect me, bro.
Yeah,
they didn't come by when they was alive. I'm like, bro. So, yeah. I mean, I ain't trying to be harsh. For their family, we got to pray for them, bro. That's all I can do for them.
And I'm not gonna sit and watch no 3-hour service.
Exactly. Not going to watch no 3-hour service. I'm not watching no marathon. I'm not doing it, bro.
Ain't going to do it. Why we think like this?
Hey, man, because we free, bro. We free. You know, for real, though. But that's why you got to develop some disciplines. Because, like I said, this digital age will actually keep you hostage in your thinking. And one of the healthiest spiritual disciplines, man, that we can practice today is something I call digital fasting. Not because technology is evil, but because silence is necessary for spiritual clarity.
Yeah.
You know, Psalms 46 verse 10 says this, "Be still and know that I am God." But if we're honest, Corey, a lot of people today don't even know how to be still anymore. And, you know, this is one of the things that, you know, I have to constantly get at my wife about. We'll be sitting in the room, just her and I, we're sitting in the room, we may be doing Legos, you know what I'm saying? We just, you know, doing something, and it's like, she'll be like, turn TV on. I'm like, for what? You know what I'm saying? I like silence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of silence. You understand?
You say you don't like talking to me?
You know what I'm saying? I'm a fan of silence because I like to hear God. Mm-hmm. That's somewhere I like to stay. When I'm in the car, I don't turn on the radio. Most people think I'm weird that way. I literally never turn on the radio when I'm in the car.
That's tough right there.
I'm like, I don't listen to music in the car. If I do anything, I'm gonna call somebody and I'm usually listening to God to see who I need to call that I can encourage, that I can pour into. You know what I'm saying? That I can be a blessing to. Other than that, I'm trying to hear from the Lord, man. It's like I like silence because I'm trying to process my thoughts. I'm trying to hear him for the next revelation. I'm like, man, I don't like just random noise. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Random noise annoys me. You know what I'm saying? If I'm gonna watch something, I want to watch something that I got some intention that I actually want. And that's why I'm one of these people. I like to watch series. Because I like to go from here to there. You know what I'm saying? I like, this got a purpose. We're going to get to the beginning of this thing, to the end of this thing. So I know we got a purpose. We're going somewhere. Or it's got to be a good movie, something that I know got a plot. We're going to get to the end, to the beginning. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What you call them? The game shows. You know what I'm saying? Like the challenges or those kind of things. Where somebody going to start, somebody going to win. You know what I'm saying? So we're going somewhere. It's got to have a purpose to it. I'm just like, right. bro, like, randomness, I just don't like to do, bro. It's just like,
can't do it.
It just will wear me out. And it's not like I can't listen to music, but it's just like, just randomness, just to have something on. No.
It does something to you.
I would rather have my quiet, because in that quiet, that's productive to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, the moment there's silence, you know, most people are like, where my phone at? Let me, no, bro, I don't need no phone.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of those things, man. This stuff, we got to get to that place, man, where we can sit and just spend time with the Lord. Where we can just hear from him, man. We can get in his presence. People don't realize, man, it's in those moments, man, God can turn your whole existence, man. He can turn your whole family, man. God then gave me some of the best revelations in my life in the moments. God has changed my whole financial outlook. He done changed my children's direction. He done changed everything. Everything in my life has been changed in those moments, in them quiet moments. And so I want to give you some practical strategies, fellas, that can help change your life. Number one, first, create some phone boundaries. The first 30 minutes of the day, spend it with God instead of scrolling. You know, if you got to go buy you an alarm clock, go buy you an alarm clock. Because I know most of us, we use our phone as our alarm, but that's the problem. As soon as you grab that phone, you go to scrolling. Mm-hmm. Like I said, matter of fact, you know what I would suggest? Get you an Alexa or a Google device and put it in your room and tell Alexa be your alarm so that all you got to do is talk to it and tell it to turn off. And that way you don't have to touch nothing.
Yeah.
And that way you can spend your time with the Lord. Number two, guard your eye gate. Oh my God, that's so critical. Because yeah. Like me and Corey said earlier, it's that stuff that you're getting in your eye, you become desensitized. And that stuff is something that will constantly pull you toward temptation. And if it's something that's pulling you toward temptation, you have to remove it. Mm-hmm. Jesus himself said, if something causes you to stumble, cut it off. Remember he said, if your left eye offends you, pluck it out. If your left hand offends you, cut it off. Guess what? He was talking about pornography and masturbation. That's exactly what he was talking about. So trust me, if that stuff is causing you to sin, if it's causing you to get outside of the will of God, if it's causing you to temptation, get it off there. Man, get off of Instagram. Instagram is one of those things, and I know people think I'm always OD. It was one of the last social medias I allowed my kids to have. I didn't let my kids get Instagram, I think, till they were juniors or seniors in college. Mm. And people are like, wait, what do you mean? Because Instagram is because it's so graphic in nature. Everything about Instagram is pictorial. It's eye gate. And that's what people use it for. They like to post the big booty pictures. They, you know, the laying across the bed. I mean, that's what Instagram is for.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want them getting drawn into that world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where the D pics go. I mean, that's what they use. The DMs. That's what Instagram was for. And it was like, I'm not putting my kids. I don't want them getting sucked into that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kept it from them as long as I could.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they were almost seniors in college before I allowed them to get on Instagram, because I wanted them to have a level of maturity before they stepped into that world. And I know people are like, man, that's OD. No, that's wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
That's wisdom, because some of y'all, your kids ruined their life already in high school with Instagram. Still trying to recover.
Yeah.
And so that's why you got to be careful. And some of y'all grown folks, your marriage is already in trouble because you can't stay off Instagram. You following this big booty chick. You doing this, you doing that, you doing too much, commenting on somebody's picture.
Info DMs.
Oh yeah. Oh, who care? Yeah, you look nice in that workout, this and that. Why? Cause she out here thirst trapping you. Mm-hmm. You better get your life.
Yeah.
Sometimes that means unfollowing. Sometimes that means blocking. Sometimes that means deleting the app. Number three, digital Sabbath. Take one day a week where you intentionally limit social media or just stay off it altogether. Whether you limit the news.
That's good.
Where you just say, I'm not doing no scrolling. Spend that time in prayer instead. Reading scripture. Spending time with your family. Where you rest.
Scroll through your word.
Yes, scroll through your word. Like paper Bible. Go find your paper Bible. Spend some time in that.
Don't even pick up the phone. Don't use the word.
Don't even pick up the phone.
The Bible app.
Hit do not disturb on your phone and just leave it in the dresser. Let it charge. Might give you battery more life.
This is true.
Number four, accountability. Because guess what? Secrecy fuels temptation. Mm-hmm. But accountability weakens it.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure your wife got your password on your phone. I don't want her to have a password on my phone. Why? Guess what? My wife got my password on my phone. My girls got my password on my phone. I don't have any passwords that my wife and my children don't have. They got my passwords on my phone. They got my ATM numbers. They got everything I got. Because I ain't got nothing to hide.
Right.
See, when you're a man of integrity, you ain't got nothing to hide. They got the keys to my gun cabinets. They got everything. Because I ain't got nothing to hide around here. See, when you walk upright, you don't have nothing to worry about. Corey. Why do you think men grow stronger spiritually when they stop trying to fight their battles alone?
Just that. They're not doing it alone. They're not doing it alone. I think we're limited. I think we're limited based on our own thoughts and our own feelings. But when we align that with God and accountability partners, we can go further. We do more. We're able to see more. We're able to broaden our scope of understanding, and then also we don't normalize, or the cover is taken off of what we've normalized. Let me say it that way.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. That's the real good point. You got somebody else who can see your blind spots.
Yeah.
And I think that's major because, like you say, you become blind to some of your own stuff. It's almost like you become nose deaf. You can't see where your stuff's stinking. You need somebody else who can smell you.
Yeah.
Brothers, recognize.
I've said it before. My grandfather used to say it, and I can say the word he used to say, but if you sit in poop long enough, it start to stop stinking.
Yeah. You forget. Yeah. You don't think you stinking, but
you don't think you're stinking.
Yeah, but you need somebody who will still tell you, hey, man.
Yeah.
You rank.
Yeah. Yeah. Clean yourself up.
Yeah.
Tighten up.
Brothers, technology is not evil, but anything that begins to master our minds can weaken our walk with the Lord. Paul told us in the letter to Philippi, he said, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, think about these things. See, that's the reason why I stopped watching the news. That's the reason why I don't spend a lot of time on social media. Because he said, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, think about these things.
Right.
That does not describe the news. That does not describe social media. So that's not where I should be spending my time.
Right.
See, God said be anxious for nothing. See, those things, social media, news, all that, that's creating anxiety. So I know that's not where the Lord wants me to spend my time, my effort. That's not what he wants in my heart. Mm-hmm. So I have to guard myself against that. So here's the challenge for every man this week. For the next 7 days, set a digital boundary. Remove one toxic digital habit. And start by replacing 10 minutes of scrolling with time with God. Because the goal is not to escape technology. The goal is to protect your soul. Corey, let me ask you this before we close. If a man can learn to discipline his mind in a world full of distractions, how much stronger do you think that makes him spiritually?
Oh, very, very strong. If you can discipline, your mind, you can discipline your flesh. That's the number one thing. If you can get that under control, there's no limit to what we can do in other areas of our lives, especially spiritually. There's no limit.
You know, the Bible says it this way: as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you said it. If you can make yourself disciplined in your mind, you can make yourself disciplined in your behavior.
Yeah.
It all starts in your mind. So fellas, I want to pray for you, because I'm telling you, man, this is something that all of us deal with on some level. But some of us, we deal with it a lot worse. You know, I know, man, we've seen people who literally, their marriages are on the rocks because of stuff like this. Seen people who have anxiety disorders because of this stuff. Seen people who literally can't function because of this stuff. But you got to recognize, man, these are supposed to be tools. And you can't allow the tool to use you. You're supposed to be using the tool. So let us pray. Lord, help us to guard our minds in a world of constant distraction. Teach us to use technology wisely without allowing it to use us and to weaken our walk with you. Guard our eyes, guard our ears, guard our mouths, and guard our hearts, so that we can regulate our thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, man, we pray that this blessed you. I know it blessed us.
Absolutely.
And if you've been blessed by this episode of The Man Cave or any of the programming here on My Church Virtual Ministries, and you want to help us continue to do what God has called us to do, then you can help us by clicking the donate button, sowing a financial seed. You can use Cash App, $, My Church Channel, or go to our website, www.lovemychurch.org, and click sow a seed. But just know that your gifts are going to help us continue to further the gospel and continue the mission that God has given us to make sure that the word is available all over the world. We have all kinds of spiritual programming here on My Church Virtual Ministries. We have the Leadership Academy, Women of Worth, The Man Cave, Marriage Seer Training, The Heart of the Pastor, Medicine for the Mind. On Sunday mornings, we have three opportunities for you to worship with us. We have Reveal TV with Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. We have Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton. We have The Enjoyable Life with Drs. Russell and Yavita Cash. But I'm telling you, our job is to be that spiritual bridge to help you continue to grow. We're not trying to replace your church. We just want to be the supplement so that you can continue to eat all week and have quality Christian programming, the things to help you continue to grow and be a discipled believer. But if you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, sow a financial seed. But I'm Pastor Tuck. That's Brother Corey. God bless you. We will see you again on next time in the man cave. Peace.
Peace.
Stay tuned for our announcements.
Breaking news. We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming with a special alert. Get ready for the premiere of Reveal TV on the My Church channel, featuring the powerful preaching and teaching ministry of pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. Experience a word that is truly prophetic, anointed, and spirit-filled to change your life. Coming to the My Church channel Sundays at 8 a.m. Experience the dynamic ministry of Reveal TV, coming soon to the My Church channel. Don't miss it.
We are cultivating an intimacy with God on that level. We are doing more than just receiving mere instruction. We are receiving direction.
You were approved before you ever acted. Chosen before you even understood the assignment.
You need to hear this and hear this clearly. You are the most important person in this church.
And if you stay connected, they're going to contaminate your faith. They're going to pull you from the path that I'm trying to take you on.
That scripture tells you exactly how to use the Bible to overcome addiction.
Women in the Bible may have been minimized, but there are a lot of powerful women. I'm certain they poured into others.
And that's why we've got to learn to not despise our seasons, because it's the thing that teaches us how to trust God.
Gratitude melts tension. It softens hearts and opens doors for deeper communication.
People always want to make change more difficult than it is, but every change starts with a choice.
At My Church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works, and we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.